If you're going to correct people and speak with authority, it means to rebuke them. It means to set things right, to correct error and wrong. It means to instruct in laws or a discipline from an infallible source or set of rules. It also means judging or discerning between right and wrong, truth and error, the real from the counterfeit. That's judging, isn't it? Or discerning. It's not judging like God judges. It's judging like a Christian should judge. A man of God at least should be able to judge and discern between the holy and profane and between the clean and the unclean, and to instruct God's people how to judge or discern such among the body of Christ. The great apostle Paul made it straight in 1 Corinthians 5. He said, if there's a brother among you that walks disorderly, he's an extortioner, or he's a drunkard, or he's an adulterer, or he is any kind, commits any kind of a sin or fleshly lust that are evident in his life, he says, don't eat with him, and put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Someone has to judge. Someone has to speak with authority and say, hey, this is right and that is wrong. Well, why don't God's people love and respect a man of God who speaks with Bible authority? Because they don't like it. Look in the church today and see how many people will live in a church, attend a church faithfully, where there's a preacher that will reprove or rebuke them. They don't like it. They won't accept it. If you see a church full of people, they've got a man in that pulpit that won't rebuke them. I guarantee you. I don't mean 1 out of 10. I mean 10 out of 10. All right? Look on the job and see who wants anybody to speak with authority. They hate a boss man. They don't like him. A foreman. A manager. Someone in charge. No, who are you telling me what to do? Look at the police, and they want to correct and instruct and discipline unruly Americans. And people balk. They don't want that policeman to interfere with their pursuit of happiness, speeding, committing a crime, or whatever. Look in the schoolrooms. Search the schoolrooms today for one that's disciplined. You've got to go out of the public sector and go into the Christian academies and colleges at the best before you'll find young people that will submit to discipline and submit with a good attitude. In the home, homes today are almost citadels of rebellion against authority. The Bible said God gave the husband authority over the wife and the parents over the children. And Christ is over that husband. But who likes it? Starts off usually with a husband. He don't want Christ, nobody telling him what to do. And the wife don't want her husband telling her what to do. And the children don't want mom and dad telling them what to do. And it starts early in life too. That old rebel sticks his head up. They don't want anybody to speak with authority. What right have you got to tell me? You got things you need to, fences you need to mend, and so forth. In the book of Matthew, where Jesus taught the great Sermon on the Mount, he spoke here about authority. Verse 29 said, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus spoke with authority, and he taught his followers, the disciples, the apostles, to speak with authority. In John, the 2nd chapter, the Lord used his authority, and you think they liked it? In verse 13, John in 2, the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. When he'd made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Hey, you bunch of perverters of the truth, corrupters of that which is holy. He took a cord, and he took it to them preachers. He didn't beat them poor little old sheep, throw them doves around in the cages and everything like that. He opened the door and said, shoo to the sheep. He opened the cages and said, shoo to the birds. And he took the cord that he made and he put a scourge on the back of them sorry preachers. They were them kind that the Bible said they were like the scribes. This was the scribes. Jesus taught with authority and not as their scribes, the preachers of that day. And Lord, when a fellow comes by today and starts preaching with authority, he's going to get national attention sooner or later. Because all it's not going to be good, sometimes he draws notoriety that he don't desire. Instead of, what's the other beside notoriety? Besides honor or fame, at least, praise God. In the 19th chapter of Luke, another great record here of the authority of Jesus, beginning in verse 45. Two times Jesus went into the temple. John 19:45, he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Twice he cleansed the temple of God. He did it with authority. And they was always asking him, where did you get this authority? One time he pulled out a penny. He said, show me a penny. He said, whose image and superscription is it? He always confounded them. They wanted to know if it was right to pay tribute. They said, whose image is that? Said Caesar's. He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. And they marveled. When they came and asked him about these things here, where he got his authority, he said, one thing I'll ask you. This is from Matthew 21. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of men? And these scribes got their heads together, them preachers of that day. They got their heads together. They pissed around, and their reasoning was, if we say from heaven, he'll say, well, why didn't you accept it? And if we say it's from men, look at this multitude here. Why, they'll stone us. Sorry, rascals. Most preachers today are just like them scribes. They speak out of both corners of the mouth. It's according to who they're with. According to who they're with and what kind of congregation they're preaching to. They said, we can't tell. He said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Praise God. He didn't fool that bunch of preachers, and that's just what I don't do. I don't fool with them either. God's always diverted my paths around them, and I try to be as wise as the Lord made me and divert my paths around them right on. I don't want to. Micah spoke with authority. First, before he speaks with authority in Micah 2 and 11, he said, if a man walking in the Spirit in falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee a wine and strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. Today it seems like the more worldly and the more sorry a man is, the less likely the people are to make him their pastor, their prophet, their leader, or whatever. It's just like it degenerated too in the days of these old prophets that God raised up in times of old. In the days of Micah, he said, if a man comes around walking in the spirit of falsehood, and he lies to the people, saying, I will prophesy to thee that you can drink wine and strong drink, they'll make him our preacher. That's the kind of preachers church people want today. Wanted to tell the women they go around and put jewelry all in their bodies, wear their earrings, and paint up like a clown in Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Amen. The churches today, so-called Pentecostal holiness, they make their golden calves, or if they don't, there's enough of jewelry hanging on the rebellious women to make them a golden calf, every one of them. God told them to pull that stinking mess out of their ear, and I'll tell you what I'm